Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast! Went loud at the end there for you. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by the other one, Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. And we've got an email here from Jumping the Smark. Now, you might recognize that name. Me. Absolutely. So he's emailed in with a hybrid of an Agony Art / Get Better.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. Hopefully it has an optimistic ending.
Yep. So I'm in high school and I have an email that I think fits the category of both Agony Art and Get Better. I want to put on a bit more muscle and cut some fat, but my eating habits suck. Mm. I have no problem getting myself to the gym and I play varsity basketball. I'm a bench warmer though. I just keep eating fatty and sugary stuff. Any advice on how to cut this out? Also, I don't run because it burns far fewer calories than you would think. Generally 0.75 calories per pound of body weight per mile. Keep up the consistent work and stay swaffed.
Yeah, well, yeah, so I guess it depends what type of body you are. You've got mesomorphs and ectomorphs and endomorphs.
I think the Ghostbusters fought
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they drove it, didn't they? The ectomorph is like my body where I can't keep on fat. Mm-hmm. So, which, you know, some people go, oh, wow, I envy you. But I'm like, but I want to be a big chunky wrestler. It's impossible for me to put anything
on. I want to be Otis Dozovich.
Exactly. I want to be a big guy. I want to be Braun Strowman. But an endomorph would be someone who typically has a lot of trouble keeping weight off. And a mesomorph is someone who's just... I hate them. They just have everything easy. They can eat whatever they like and they're still ripped. But yeah, for avoiding fatty foods and sugary foods, the easiest way is just have a meal plan. And then you kind of just default to that meal plan and say, well, I'm only going to eat these meals on these days, and then you can check it off. There's also a meditation technique called noting, where you can... It's probably hooked into a kind of craving, or like a comfort food. That's certainly me with pizza, which I have way too much of. Well, how many pizzas a week would you say is too much?
Two. Like having one a week is probably a bit much anyway, but certainly having two.
Yeah, because we'll get to the end of the week and we usually get a pizza takeaway.
I'm talking about you and your...
Me and my lady partner, which I have sort of been jostling for the whole day. And then she finally relents, despite saying, I'll cook some healthy food. And I'll be like, oh, but what about the pizza? And then she'll go, how many pizzas have you had this week? And the last couple of weeks have been three.
It is your favourite, though, isn't it?
It's awful.
Margarita stuffed crust.
But anyway, if that is like your thing, you sort of get stuck in this rut. If you just say in your head, that's I want this pizza for no reason.
Yeah.
Over time you'll start to go, well, I'm just not going to have the pizza then. But that hasn't worked for me so far. So what am I doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I last year gave up because I had quite a bad I don't want to say use the word addiction, but I bloody loved McDonald's. Like, I was a big, during 2014 when I was freelancing, like, film screenings are always at really awkward times. They're kind of like, they're never too early in the morning or they're never too late in the afternoon. They always come over lunchtime, so you can't eat anything beforehand because then you just be, that's breakfast. And then you're in the cinema screen for a couple of hours, and then you've got to get home and to do the rest of your work. So by the time you get home, it's like nearly 3-4 o'clock. So that's no real time to have lunch either. So I got into a very bad habit of just having McDonald's before I went home, or I would get a Burger King or something along those lines. I'm not very addicted to fast food. And I was having Mackie D's 3-4 times a week because it was easy food for me to eat. I felt like I was on a one-man mission to rid the world of Big Macs and double cheeseburgers, because I would have those as well.
In one sitting?
Yeah, you'd have a large Big Mac meal with a double cheeseburger and whatever side was currently on at that point.
Good grief. That's expensive.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I didn't earn a lot of money during that period as well, because whatever money I was earning, I was
smoking. Went all to Ronald.
Went all to Ronald, didn't it?
So I essentially
got to a point where I thought, I need to pack this in. So in 2017, December 31st, 2016, I'd said to my wife, just not doing it for a year. I'm not going to go into McDonald's. I'm going to go to any fast food restaurants, and I'm not going to have any sugary drinks, and I'm not going to have any sweets or chocolate. I'm just going to sack the whole lot, and I'm going to do it for a year. And I did, and I didn't have anything for any of that until January 2018. So and even then, and since then, I have barely been into McDonald's. In fact, I might have been once or twice, and that's because I've been on a motorway. When I'm driving up north, and that's kind of like almost your only options you've got. And so I don't have that craving for it anymore. I suppose it's a bit like smoking. You just find a way to replace it with something else. So I suppose that would be my advice. Just give yourself a target of just like, I'm not going to do it for this amount of time. And then eventually, I guess you just kick the habit.
As you were talking about that, I remember you read, like you read a book, yeah. And you were like, that seems to work quite well for you. And I was thinking, well, that's actually how my one came about as well. I read a book that was like, I think it was The Grain Brain or something, or the Gary Taubes book on sugar. And that they both kind of like put you into fear. And even though you might not be perfect afterwards, you're definitely so much better. So like, find a book. Like, whatever you want to achieve, just like find the most recommended book in that category, diet-wise. Read it or get the Audible audiobook version. And then that will probably fuel you, and in 3 months' time afterwards, you'll hopefully be as good as me and Luke.
Well, the book that I read,
dare I say,
the book I read was the follow up to Morgan Spurlock's documentary Supersize Me, and it was called Don't Eat This Book. And it was kind of like not just so much a follow up to it, like talking about the documentary itself, but also talking about kind of the wider picture of stuff he didn't get to cover, and kind of like revisiting some of the people he interviewed in that process, which is a tremendous documentary anyway. But if you ever want to be put off eating fast food, then Supersize Me is a fantastic documentary. Slightly outdated now because it came out in like 2003 or what have you. And the book's outdated as well because it came out in 2004. So all the information in there is not up to date, but still.
And it's weird because McDonald's now presents them, like their whole marketing strategy is, no, we do put real meat in our burgers.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's totally.
Their whole ethos is trying to like undermine your doubts about them first.
And in fact, actually, their healthy kick was off the back of Supersize Me getting so much attention that they were like, yeah, we need to do something because a lot of people think that we're bad now.
I've got an 80% fact. I've never checked this myself, but I always heard the reason gherkins are present in a Big Mac is because if they weren't, the sugar percentage in that meal would be so high, they wouldn't be able to class it as a main. It would be a dessert.
I've heard that as well. I remember hearing that back when I was a teenager, getting McDonald's every Saturday while I was working at Sainsbury's.
But I don't know if that's...
Don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
I do know that... So there's a story in Don't Eat This Book of a guy playing a practical joke. Like him and his friend in their office block used to play these practical jokes, and like hiding stuff in their offices and things like that. And he hid a cheeseburger from McDonald's on top of one of his shelves, and it'll be like, God, soon it's going to start stinking. And then he'll like, ha ha ha, practical joke, that'd be hilarious. He said like months went past and he didn't say anything. And actually it got so long that the guy who put the cheeseburger up there forgot that he put it up there. And then when they were moving office blocks 10 years later, they found it and it was still in like almost perfect condition. Because there's so much salt and sugar within the buns and everything else that's in there that it just preserves itself. He said, he goes, the bun was slightly dry, but that more or less it was almost edible.
Did he eat it?
No, he didn't eat it.
Why not? It's like an archaeological discovery.
Yeah, well, Indiana Jones would, like, it belongs in a museum.
I bet there's some crazed American somewhere whose house is devoted to McDonald's paraphernalia.
Oh, that's what I'm doing online.
And
I'm like,
I would have eaten that. That's a collector's item.
It's a 90s burger.
They've changed the sauce since then.
They've changed the packaging. Quick email here from Craig Roberts, who emails in. I'm just wondering, Luke, listening to last Saturday's magazine show where Ollie said he slapped on a Taz mission on someone he's only had his fight with, got me wondering if you guys have regular banter-fueled play fights when you're at WTTV HQ. Love the content you put out. From Craig and the guide dog Bruce in Manchester. No, we don't.
No, I grew out of that in around my second year of university. After someone had a figure four. No, it was a sharpshooter locked on me in Freshers Week of the second year. And someone super kicked them over. And they fell on my back with my legs still tangled up. And I heard a click. And I'm pretty sure I was so drunk. But for a minute, I couldn't move anything. And not for a minute. It was like a second. And it wasn't even... because of that, I just was probably too drunk, and I thought I'm paralyzed. and that because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac sometimes, and I never sort of do it. But then I did suplex someone onto a mattress the other week.
Yeah,
but I didn't put him through the frame. That was someone else.
Go back into the archives to hear that episode. And quickly before we jump into the main show, this comes in from Leroy Jenkins. Of course, it really comes in from Chris Jenkins. You'll be getting your shout out in this episode, Chris. Hey guys, here's some quick updates on the Hammers. They've been delayed a little because I've been so busy at work with all the wildfires, but so far. I've learned that it's a complicated process making a brand new thing look old and war-torn. The Hammers have been cut, sanded, stained, and hand-painted, and they are coming along nicely. I'm not showing you, quote, the final picture because I want the finished product to be a surprise for the most part. Please let me know if you have any comments or input. But after all, these are your Hammers. So here is the latest.
No way.
So those are the Hammers themselves.
Oh, wow.
And then he's got like these. I'm guessing there's like WrestleTalk placards that are going to go onto them. And there's one for a Wrestle Ramble.
Ah.
It's going to go on there as well.
How are these going to fit in the set?
We need to find somewhere where we can put them.
From the corners, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's incredible. Yes. That's so cool. Jenkins.
So thank you very, very much. We are very looking forward to seeing them in full, I guess. But we're going to go into the main portion of this show now. An odd episode of SmackDown Live, it must be said. I did get a tweet yesterday from, do you remember the chairman of the board, Jer Personen?
Of course.
I believe he is still one of our pledge hammers. He might not be at these times because he actually said he might be giving up on us.
Oh.
Because you were too negative.
Oh, really?
And he's trying to fill his life with positivity. So having us talk about how bad a show is. Where his whole ethos at the moment is watching wrestling and just enjoying it for what it is. And he thought we were far too negative. And he said he's not going to listen. So if you're listening to this episode, Jer, I would recommend not tuning into this one
either.
Turn back now while you still can, because it was an odd episode, and I would frankly say a bad episode of SmackDown Live. Here's the show.
So on Survivor Series, Charlotte, in my eyes, turned heel. She snapped on Ronda Rousey after this very good competitive match between the two and beats her down, shoving off referees. And she pilmanizes Ronda in the chair, which Ronda doesn't sell the next night. And the next night, Ronda comes out, they frame what Charlotte did as an awful thing. And some people were booing Ronda a lot more at Survivor Series, and a lot of people were cheering Charlotte. And you said yesterday that backstage, the report is, WWE are very happy with that reaction because it was
a reaction. And WWE's mentality backstage reportedly is that so long as he gets a reaction, that's a good thing. And the crowd are always going to react big when they think they see an important angle. So even if it is a heel turn, they're going to cheer it because they have seen something big happen.
And when we were talking about that, you brought up one of the viewers commented or tweeted about, that they think this is Charlotte being a babyface because she was channeling Becky, and that's when she took out Ronda. It was all in honor of our favorite person in WWE right now, Becky Lynch. And I said, No, I can't see that happening.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I was like, when I saw that angle, I was like, this has nothing to do with Becky. This has got something to do with Charlotte snapping.
I completely discounted it. I wouldn't even entertain it. I was like, that's not what it is.
I think, do you want to hear my conspiracy theory? I think plans have changed.
Ooh.
I think whatever the plan was coming out of Survivor Series on Sunday is different to what we got here on Tuesday. Because not only did Shane McMahon tweet out, something big is going to happen on Tuesday, something needs to change, which, spoilers if you haven't watched SmackDown, didn't happen. Shane, there was virtually no reference to Survivor Series on this show.
The New Day still beating that drum. We did have a match, and yeah, we did win it.
And in all fairness, New Day didn't even win. The Usos won it. Mm. New Day were eliminated. So that's by the by. We'll get to that. And the other side of that is that when Flair turned heel, quote unquote, her tweet was, boo the woo, screw you. Which suggests to me that's a you fans turned your back on me promo is coming on Tuesday. And I just think plans changed. And essentially what they did is they didn't turn Flair heel, they turned Flair Lynch. And they've just given her a Lynch turn. They saw what happened at like the reaction.
Lynch turn.
It's what happened at SummerSlam. Becky turned heel, quote unquote, but she got a massive babyface reaction of it, and off the back of it became an even bigger babyface than what she was previously. And it feels like what WWE does is just control C, control V to that, and to Flair, so that Flair can get, and credit to them, and I said this in the review, credit to them, it's worked. Because the crowd was so much more into Charlotte Flair here than they were 3 weeks ago. Like the reaction she got at Evolution, the reaction she was getting in the lead up to Evolution, where she was getting booed out of the building, that didn't happen this week. Mm. She was cheered like a homecoming babyface this week. So, credit to them. If their plan was to get Charlotte over as a massive babyface, it's worked.
Let's run through what happened in this opening segment. Because I don't even think it's a massive babyface thing. I feel like most people were confused. I certainly was. Not just by this segment, but by loads of segments on the show. Not to say that I didn't like a lot of the stuff. I did. But I'm just... It's just like... Yeah, I'm just sitting there thinking, but what's going on here?
So I gave this...
Like, I'm constantly watching... I'm trying to follow a Batman story in the comics, but I'm accidentally reading loads of different titles, thinking that Batman carries on the same story into Detective Comics or Batman Incorporated. It doesn't, they're separate continuities.
Yeah. So here is the example I would give as a comparison. This Charlotte Flair promo, the way she walked to the ring, the way she cut her promo, the way that she challenged the Iconics to matches, the way that she was laying down the challenge to Ronda Rousey, it was Becky Lynch's words coming out of Charlotte Flair's mouth. And as I'd said in the review, this was Big Show doing the yes chant. Mm. This was WWE telling Big Show, we do not want this yes chant being over and associated with Daniel Bryan, so you need to go and do it. We need Stephanie doing it. We need Sheamus doing it. We need everyone doing the yes chant so that doesn't get related to him. So then the yes chant is over, not Daniel Bryan. And that almost where I was like, well, Becky's over, but we want Flair to be over, so just do everything that Becky is doing.
And the problem there is, like, you can imitate something as much as you want, but...
After a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, right out the gate, that was my problem with Charlotte here. Like, I can see through this as being a superficial, overproduced version of Becky Lynch. It's like when you listen to you fall in love with a band and they've got a certain literal garage quality about them where it sounds a bit rough and ready. And then a few years later, that style is what's in the mainstream and you get more overly produced versions of that sound and you're like, well, this isn't the same.
You're just talking about Weezer, aren't you?
Hey, just leave Weezer out of it. So that's how I feel Charlotte was here. She was saying all the right things, doing all the right facial expressions, and I love the idea that all of the women in the division are now these pissed off ass kickers, but it just rang a bit hollow. Mm. And I didn't fully buy into it. Because it's not her... Yeah,
it wasn't her character.
I mean, it can be her character, though. It's just...
We've already got that character.
Yeah, it feels like an imitation of Becky. And Becky is... I can't think of a more perfect embodiment of that character than Becky. So anyone who tries to do the same character is going to come off not as good. So it's... You're fighting a losing battle to do it. Anyway, that's... Recap, this was the opening of the show. They did a recap package of Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey.
Because the Survivor Series results didn't mean anything.
Yeah. And, you know, she's going to end her career. They had that line from Renee Young. I was like, well, I wish Ronda sold it a bit on Monday then.
That's what I said on the Raw review. So infuriating. She comes out smiling. And it was like, remember when Michael Cole did that thing? I think it was Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens or someone got beaten up. And then, like, they didn't sell it at all on the way down. It's like, I'm sure they're hurting on the inside. That's what, with Ronda, I'm sure her neck was hurting on the inside.
Yeah, it's right in the vertebrae, deep below the skin. It's, I mean, I wasn't as annoyed by that as you were, but watching this really good video package, getting over how brutal that beatdown was, I was like, yeah, but last night she was fine.
It didn't matter.
What is the consistent story here? Is Raw continuity? Is SmackDown a separate continuity?
When we get to that tag match later, I was infuriated by this. Off the bat, if you haven't watched my SmackDown review, I didn't like this show. I liked it more than Raw, but that's a very low bar. But I thought this was almost as bad as Raw was this week. I thought it was awful.
So Charlotte comes out after this video package, and immediately, like you said, the way she carries herself, I was like, okay, maybe she's doing a cocky heel character, but no, she gets in the ring, gets the mic, and says, I did this for the champ. And I was thinking, are you talking about yourself? Is this a new edge on your heel character? No, she turned heel and beat up Ronda for Becky Lynch, and she said this was all for Becky Lynch, and the crowd went crazy for her.
It worked.
But were the crowd going crazy for Charlotte, or were they going crazy for Charlotte as a proxy for Becky Lynch?
Either way, Charlotte's getting cheered, and I guess that was the goal. Because I thought, when she started doing this, I was like, oh, okay, so maybe she's a delusional heel. She thinks she's done the right thing. That's an interesting angle, and that's quite interesting. Then Paige came down, and she was like, what you did on Sunday was ace. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so Charlotte's a baby face then. And that was when I started to put the piece together. It's like, oh, they're Becky Lynching her. They've done a Lynch turn.
No, because they're all behind her from the get-go of the heinous actions. If this was Becky Lynch, it'd be, oh, it was a heinous action. You stabbed your
best friend.
Sure, you were once best friends. You went to that red carpet thing together. Woo! But yeah, when Paige came down smiling, well done. We all enjoyed what you did to Ronda on Sunday night. But you're a babyface character. You're like the one saving grace of authority figures in WWE. And you are now bad, like aligning yourself with the wrong morality. It totally throws everything out of whack. And I know I keep banging on about how important morality is in storytelling for wrestling, but there's no way to get heat after a while, because if the people you're meant to trust and believe in start saying, oh no, that was fine when you did all those horrible things. When people do the horrible things, they don't mean anything because they're okay. So there's no way to get heat off them. It's a tiny thing, but it's really fundamentally damaging over time.
Do you know what my favorite line of Flair's promo was? And she said to Ronda Rousey, I'm sure you're walking a little slower today. And I thought, nope.
she beat Mickie James.
She's fine, mate. She had a match. She was all right.
To be fair, it wasn't a very good match with Mickie James. It was very slothy. Maybe that's what...
that's what it was.
That's how she sold it. She turned into a bad wrestler for 2 minutes. So yeah, Charlotte is a babyface here. And she, like Charlotte even says, if Ronda interferes with me again, I'm going to stomp her head in a chair some more. That is the what's going on here? I love badasses, but you've gone too much. This is like, this is a sociopath show now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. And I was just like, it took me so long to really to put the pieces into place of what this is. And actually, now the more we talk about it, the more I'm starting to question, like, well, do I really know what this character is now, other than she's Becky with blonde hair.
Yeah, and she says the queen sometimes, rather than the man. Then Paige stumbles over a line. It seems like she forgot what she was saying. And finally gets out, we loved what you did to Ronda. We loved how you beat up that nice person.
Yep, you hit her with so many
weapons. Becky.
Yeah.
But you did push over some referees. And for that, and I hate it when they do this, we're going to have to fine you $100,000.
Yeah, and the crowd don't react to it because why would they care?
It's just, I think as soon as you bring, that no monetary figure ever sounds good in wrestling. Unless it's like a prize, I guess. It still doesn't work, especially in the WWE level, because a lot of the mystique is, well, surely they all get paid billions of pounds each.
Yeah.
Not true. They probably get paid. They don't even get paid travel expenses. But, like, to say, it was. Do you remember when Sheamus was fined for bro kicking a referee?
Well, remember Brock Lesnar was fined for what he did to Randy Orton.
That was, and it was Shane McMahon, and that was a token one of, like, $5,000.
Yeah.
But that was meant to play into the Shane McMahon feud because Stephanie McMahon issued
it. That's right,
but
yeah,
it never paid off.
Yeah, and I doubt Brock paid out either.
Yeah, but I think Sheamus had a $500,000 fine. And everyone was like, well, hold on. That's too much. But yeah, Charlotte, like, what's the point anyway? Because Charlotte no-sold it.
Yeah, because she's a badass now. Because she's Becky, she's Charlotte Lynch.
And then the Iconics come down. And they do. I really like their delivery. It's a shame they mean nothing.
They've booked them so far into the ground now that they just get zero reaction. Because why would you give a reaction to the Iconics at this point? Because what WWE presented, since they came up to the main roster in April, they've been presented as losers. They come out, say things, and lose. So why should we care when they come out? It's such a shame.
And there's two of them. So you just always have one interfere in the other's matches and give them the heel wins that way. It's a shame. It's a real shame.
It is.
I thought they were very funny, but yeah, just there's nothing there underneath. Charlotte says, "Well, I want to beat you two up now that you're here." So
Which one of you is going to be the next Ronda Rousey?
And they have Billie Kay has a match, which is just a Charlotte squash match.
Yeah.
Didn't think Kay got a single move in.
No, she did.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, they got the advantage of Peyton Royce getting the distraction, and then sort of Royce.
Okay.
They did the same usual, you dominate for 90% of the match, and then you lose with a couple of moves.
Oh, are you sure that's not the next match?
I've written here, Kay gets the advantage of a Royce distraction, Flair makes a comeback, wins with natural selection.
Oh, yeah. So I'm in my notes, it's like, Kay got hardly anything.
Well, the match went like 90 seconds.
Yeah, so we're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
So Charlotte then challenges Peyton Royce off the back of that, and she says, I'm going to play fair and square, which I quite liked, but it's a heel term. Like, that's a heel line. I think the badass Charlotte character only works against equally badass opponents.
Yep.
Because going up against the Iconics here and quite handily beating both of them, and I almost felt sorry for the Iconics after a while.
Well, yeah, so like they had this match, and it's barely a match with Peyton Royce. Most of it takes place during the commercial break, and then Billie Kay runs in for the DQ. And the crowd all thought, Becky's coming. Becky's coming to make the save.
Becky,
because
yeah.
Flair was being beaten down 2-on-1 by the Iconics. You can watch the crowd. They all look up the ramp, waiting for Becky to make the save. But Flair didn't need her because she just beat up the Iconics on her own, double spears to the outside, and then she just handedly beat them both on her own. She doesn't need no Lynch.
Yeah, she got both. There was one point she started banging Kay's head on the announcer's table, then grabbed Peyton's and did it there, and then did it to both of them. And I was just, it's awkward to criticize this because we're always saying, you know, we need more from WWE. We want more attitude-like characters and badass characters and women's storylines not based around being friends. And you know, WWE are making the title really important, which is fantastic. But, like, it's so typical of WWE. We ask for something for ages, they do it, and they just do it wrong. Like, they do it to an obnoxious extent.
Yeah.
Or do it with the wrong person. It's weird. It's weird. I don't want to be too down on it. But it's going to be problematic after a while. Like, it's one of those things that's weird now, but if they carry on this route, it's going to be off-putting in about a month's time.
Here's what I think is I think this is where we're going. They're just using Charlotte as a proxy for Lynch to kind of save, build up some time before we get to Mania.
Mm.
I think that's the plan. It's just to keep Rousey busy and kind of keep that plate spinning.
Different brands.
Charlotte said, when we're going to see her at TLC, because that's a dual brand pay-per-view, I'll just find her then.
Mm.
So, like, Charlotte's already laid down the challenge. I'll see you at TLC. So I think they're just trying to keep that Becky Ronda plate spinning so they can keep it spinning up until Mania, and they're using Charlotte's as essentially the pole, the plate's on top of. I guess.
And maybe there's a four horsewomen storyline they can spark off here.
Yeah, but we've said that over and over again. I don't think it's coming.
I just, with all this that's going on, and given the track record, I'm just worried that it's actually all a way to get Charlotte and Ronda over. Because Vince McMahon is incredibly stubborn. The Charlotte-Ronda WrestleMania main event was always the destined thing. Becky Lynch had the audacity to get over by herself. We've seen this before when, you know, we think,
Daniel
oh, man.
Bryan.
Or Braun Strowman. Like, oh, man, just let Braun Strowman beat Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns and build to that big Braun Strowman WrestleMania match. And it looks like they're going with it. But then ultimately, it's just a way to build up the original plans. So that's my worry and concern. But, you know, it's not like WWE have a good track record with this. It's weird. It's weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Thank you ever so much, all our pledge hammers, but thank you the most, that was a nasty way of putting it, but thank you to the $25 or plus pledge hammers. Sorry, I'm popping a lot with the P's there.
These $25 and... Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, if you're annoyed by us thanking people, you can skip to the actual full SmackDown review in the with the timestamps below.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, but we're gonna say thank you to some $25 plus pledges.
Yeah, and I wanted to say a special thank you to those $25 and above pledge hammers who gave their submissions in for the next fantasy booking warfare scenario, which, I mean, maybe we'll do a quick check on the poll, which ends this week. Polls available for all pledge hammers to vote on.
Did you reveal the results in last
Friday?
Yeah.
Last Friday's, yeah.
Yeah, so I
won by like 2,000 votes.
I lost heavily. I was down on mine a lot. But that means it'll be you taking on the unproven Laurie Blake.
Yes.
Very interesting.
In our new winner stays on. Mm. And because I'm doing so poorly in the Wrestle League, I almost have to think we need to start counting this as like bonus points. Just to try and help me climb back up
the
table.
What we got here.
So it looks like, and probably to be expected on topic, Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey for WrestleMania 35 is the current leader in the poll for the next fantasy booking warfare scenario.
Got like 20 ideas for that.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking. Where's Dan? Where does Dan feature in this? He suggested Kurt Hawkins breaks his losing streak, 6% of the votes currently.
Wow.
It's not last.
That's, well done, Dan. You continue to amaze with great suggestions. But also thank you to our $25 plus pledge hammers, starting with Paul E. Dangerously Jarman.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Paul E. Dangerously, yes. The $100 man CD Horver.
Yes. 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 The mayor of Painesville, Dan. Let's give it up for Dan. Woohoo.
Always the bridesmaid. The craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Yes. We should have got him in to build this studio.
We should have done.
The event known as Chris Anderson to decide the best in the world.
That was Chris himself changed that because we used to call him Chris Mr. Anderson.
Look who's next.
Andy, yes, it's me, Datsun. Don't applaud. Just move on.
Why does he still... He works with us.
I know.
Why does he still... He's essentially so just, desperate for approval.
He's essentially just giving you back what you pay him.
He was on the Wrestle Ramble Evolution episode. Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
Here's an interesting one. If you haven't heard this, going to the Wrestle Ramble podcast a couple of episodes ago, we got an explanation as to what this next one means. Asuka's future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew, Skin Trade.
It's not as creepy as you'd think.
Although the last bit sounds like it could be.
Yep. Last clap. You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Oh, Matthew Jemjewski.
Good effort.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams. Yeah,
best
lovely
there
show.
Was. Killer Chris Phillips.
Oh, watch out for him.
He killed him.
He did. An Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
The man who is building us hammers.
After all that Charlotte stuff, that opened the show with the Iconics, we got 2007.
Oh my god, when they announced this was the main event. Like, this show opened and I was like, the whole Charlotte stuff, regardless of, like, you know, the questionable nature about it, I did think, I mean, there's something interesting here though. God, SmackDown, many interesting things happening on SmackDown at the moment. And then they announced Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton for the main event. I was like, this is why I hate the show at the moment. Mm. This is why I really want to like SmackDown. And I feel like everyone thinks that I hate this show. And I love the SmackDown brand and I love the SmackDown roster. But it keeps getting main bloody evented by Randy Orton and these 2005 jabronis that just like...
Jeff Hardy, big show.
Oh, it's all these lads. And
The Miz.
I was thinking about this. In 1999, Raw wasn't headlined by lads who were on top in 1987. WCW Nitro was, and WWF kept saying, that's a stupid show, because they keep pushing all these old-timers, and we should be pushing this new talent. And they're not doing this now. They're still pushing bloody Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio in the main event in 2018. Mm. This is their first SmackDown match in 12 years. 12 years ago, the MCU didn't exist.
I love that's your reference point. Well, so much has changed.
So much has changed. 12 years ago, we didn't have the Dark Knight Rises. Christopher Nolan was still directing Batman movies.
So Ray cut this promo. I like the funky neon lights that he had behind him. Does he take that everywhere? I bet it's not that big. I bet to see it in real life is not that impressive. Like, if you see this studio, you see there's a lot of empty shelves.
A lot of empty shelves up there, yeah.
But that one, I bet it's just a tiny bit. But I thought it looked impressive. But Ray gets over how Randy, this new Randy, is so sadistic, and like more sadistic than the man who snogged Triple H's wife while he was handcuffed and she was unconscious. And then he goes, to illustrate that point, just look what he did to Jeff Hardy.
But Jeff's fine.
Jeff's fine! He threw himself through the table! Why do they keep insisting this was a big injury angle?
Jeff came back, he had a couple of matches on SmackDown, he was part of the World Cup, he was at Survivor Series, he's grand. He's absolutely fine.
It baffles me that everyone gets... What Randy did to Jeff Hardy. Well, Jeff Hardy's walking around. Hi, guys. I'm third eye and stuff over here. Yeah. My synapses are firing fine.
He's all right, lad.
It wasn't that bad. So then we got another confusing segment.
Do you know my favourite part of this, though? Before we get to the confusing part of it, Miz is backstage and he's signing a copy of the Marine 6, but... And it's little attention to detail, WWE. He signs the shrink wrap, which means the guy he signed it for can never watch that DVD. Because if he takes off the shrink wrap, then he loses the signature.
That is good.
This is now a pointless DVD to him. This is just taking up space.
So I think what we're about to talk about would have been a very funny segment 4 months ago.
Yes.
But this is not the time to have the segment. Just for context, we've probably beaten this to death. SmackDown lost 6-0 on the main card. The whole of Survivor Series was built around SmackDown getting destroyed. Shane McMahon was on the men's team that got destroyed. They lost with, you know, a 3-person advantage on Raw in the end. And afterwards, Shane McMahon tweets, you know, changes have got to come. This, we've got to come step back and reassess.
Changes are coming. Coming Tuesday is what he said. Come Tuesday, things are going to have to change. So the seeds have been, like, the seeds have been planted. The stage has been set that Shane McMahon is going to do something big. And everyone was like, he's going to announce a superstar shakeup. He's going to announce some NXT call-ups. He's going to do this. We theorized that maybe some of the talent that got overlooked in the 5-on-5 were going to rise up and say, hey, we would have won if we were on the team. And that's not what we got at all. And why I really hated this episode of SmackDown Live is that it wasn't just that Survivor Series banged the drum that SmackDown lost 6-0. It's that Raw was doing it as well. Raw, Michael Cole kept saying, clean sweep. Stephanie kept saying, clean sweep. Baron Corbin, clean sweep. They kept bringing up this idea. It was a clean sweep. The words clean sweep were not said on this show whatsoever. And you said yesterday, God, SmackDown losing didn't play into any storylines on Raw. And I said, well, that's because surely it's got to play into storylines on SmackDown. And it didn't. And it infuriated me that it just rendered Survivor Series even more pointless. We all spent 4 hours watching that show, watching SmackDown get decimated pillar to post, and it led to bugger all come Tuesday. Come 2 days later, it meant nothing. Why should we care?
Yeah. Like, I think it's a bad angle anyway to completely beat one show like that. But at least make something of it. And if you don't follow up on it, don't care about anything we do because it doesn't matter. Nothing you watch matters. We're going to ask you to sit there for 5 hours a week, you know, 9 to 10 hours on pay-per-view weeks, but none of it matters. It really takes its audience for granted.
Yeah, and they wonder why house show attendance is down.
Yeah. They must think so little of the average WWE viewer.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's so insulting to the intelligent because Miz and Shane come down, Miz hosts a Miz TV segment with Shane McMahon as his guest. At no point do they say 6-0, clean sweep, we lost at Survivor Series. All Miz does is says, you had a great showing at Survivor Series. And I'm like, you bloody didn't, because you lost. You lost handily. There were three of them left, but none of that is brought up. It's just instantly they've moved on to new storylines, and none of it mattered. It's Triple H turning on Shane and Kurt last year. It's Triple H being beaten up by Braun. Leads to absolutely sweet FA, and here we are again, like a year later, and it still means nothing. And a few people brought up in my news yesterday, because I said that Raw beat SmackDown 3 years in a row. And everyone said, no, SmackDown won in 2016. They won the men's elimination match, but they lost the women's and they lost the tag and the other matches in between. Raw won overall that night. So for the last 3 years, Raw has always beaten SmackDown and it's never built to anything. And yet here we are again and it's still building to nothing.
Yeah, and when you have storylines that they at least tease or set up with angles, they just whitewash it. Last year, it was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were the cause of SmackDown's downfall when they just took out one guy.
I was going to say they weren't whatsoever. They were barely a factor.
So the reports have been that the long-term plans is for Shane McMahon to turn heel, sort of gone ego crazy after his Best in the World victory. And then that was, apparently that was meant to carry on through this week off the back of the Team SmackDown loss. And that Miz, that's going to counterbalance a Miz face turn, which I think is a terrible idea anyway.
Awful idea.
It's never worked.
Dreadful idea.
He's like one of those guys who should always be a heel.
Yeah.
It's just, he's got a face. He's got a face that is naturally punchable.
Yep.
I love the Miz.
He's great as a heel. He's such an effective heel. He is such a good heel, like heat magnet. So you look at that and go like, now he needs a babyface turn. So better turn one of those guys that gets a lot of babyface cheers. Better turn him heel at the same time.
And so they bring down Shane. Shane is like slightly limping. Again, not enough selling for anything really on this show. And Miz is really building up Shane, and the commentators are going, he's a suck up. He's been really, like, was it Corey or Byron who was saying this?
I don't know. They all sound the same after a while.
So, because if Corey's saying it, that means Miz is a heel. No, that means Miz is a face. But if Byron was saying it, that means, I can't remember. Miz brings up the World Cup trophy at ringside.
The fact that I don't register and the fact that I just shrugged my shoulders is a real, like, indictment of how bad this is, because I don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been given no reason to care.
And it's all building up to Miz saying, we worked so well together at Survivor Series. You didn't. You lost. That they should form a team. They could be the best in the world team. I guess, like, maybe there's some form of Stockholm Syndrome going on here, because it was Shane who stepped in to save Miz in the Crown Jewel finals. I don't feel they've told that story or made that explicit.
I don't think that's the story they told at all. Shane stepped in for Miz because he didn't want SmackDown to lose.
Yeah.
Because SmackDown brand supremacy is so important to Shane.
I mean, like, from Miz's eyes, like, why would Miz suddenly... I'm just trying to, like, fill holes, really.
Yeah.
I don't think they even care about what Miz's motivation is.
Absolutely not.
And Miz is like, to show what a good team we can be together, I've got some, you know, real good competition. By the way, Miz totally babyfaced the whole promo. Getting hometown crowd heat, like, pops. Saying it's great to be home.
Well, he came out for the dark match as a babyface against Bryan.
Mm.
And apparently he got, like, the biggest reaction of the whole evening was, to the hometown boy.
Just 6 months in, we've got a heel Bryan versus a babyface Miz. Remember Brie? Remember Maurice?
Yep.
Jesus Christ, this is just such a crap year for WWE, really.
Anyway, so the Miz and Shane McMahon then teamed up to take on the Byron brothers, who are clearly not brothers, but Corey Graves made a lot of jokes about the fact that they were brothers. And Shane sort of wrestled in street clothes, but before that, like, walked to the wrong corner.
Yes.
Like the simplest of things Shane can't get right.
Hey, again, just like how Ronda was bad in the match against Mickey... He's selling.
Selling it, man.
He's selling. He's selling the effects of the Survivor Series match. So Shane never gets tagged in because he is injured. It would be nice to see some more physicality showing that, though. So Miz is getting the better of the jobbers, but then the jobber rolls him up and wins. So that's this whole segment. And it was like, if you look at that as an isolated incident, that's funny.
Yeah.
But this is the follow-up show for Survivor Series that really, really needed a total, like, a big angle to just redeem SmackDown.
Yeah.
This was, I don't know what to say, to be honest.
Well, there really is nothing else to say on it. And Miz looked sad after they won. He sort of looked to Shane and being like, I can't believe I lost us this match. None of it matters. Absolutely none of it matters.
I don't want to see Shane and Miz in a team.
Oh, God,
I don't want to see a Shane and Miz feud.
100% not.
There's no, like, silver lining to this segment, like, where this can go.
And because it's Shane, it will likely be the main event story, or, like, the story that's pushed the most on TV, because it always is when it's Shane, for whatever reason. Well, he sells tickets, I guess. And when New Day were backstage, and then the gobbledygooker came up to them, it was R-Truth in his cameo of the week. And that then didn't lead into the next segment. And this is, I was so torn on this because it did make me laugh.
Mm.
But at the same time, it plays with audience intelligence and insulting of it. And it just completely renders things they say on SmackDown or things they say on Raw, things they say on Survivor Series, redundant. So New Day come out dressed in, like, Thanksgiving gear, because it's Thanksgiving on Thursday.
It's Puritans.
Is that what they are?
I believe so.
I'm
or Pilgrims.
Pilgrims? I think it's Pilgrims. I don't know, mate. It's American history, unfortunately. We weren't taught that in school. I was taught about the 60s.
It was like a two-page chapter.
And so they kind of talk about, and, like, Xavier's got 6-1 written on his top, and I thought, well, that's kind of like a nice little reference point, because, like, he's been doing that on Twitter. That's your hardcore fans, they'll see what that is, and they'll appreciate what that means. And then they stand in the ring, and they're standing in front of this big banquet full of food, and they talk about what they should be thankful for. And Kofi says, I'm thankful we won at Survivor Series, and we were the one in 6-1. And I go,
So is it canon now? Does the pre-show count? Because you've been telling me that it didn't, and it didn't happen, and it doesn't matter, because clean sweep, clean sweep, clean sweep. Now I've got these lads standing up going like, no, it did count. SmackDown didn't get decimated. This, by the way, is the first reference to the fact that SmackDown lost all of their matches. It came nearly an hour into the show, and it was used as comedy.
I feel...
What the hell, man?
I feel like every segment is running off a different script sheet, like a different version of what's happened in the last month in WWE TV. It's quite fitting for a fake news climate where facts don't matter, or things that have happened that you've watched yourself, that doesn't matter, and the people who are going to appear on screen are going to bald-faced tell you sincerely, no, that didn't happen, but I saw that with my own eyes. Again, it completely chips away at any trust you have in the characters, the story, and the product. And for a product that is based on suspending your disbelief and believing that these people are fighting, that's so, so damaging.
I really feel like New Day are like the Deadpool of WWE.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they know that they're in a wrestling show.
Which was a great submission to our crap gimmicks.
Yeah.
But not necessarily for a real promotion.
And then, to make that even worse of Kofi bringing up the 6-0 loss as a joke, it's then swept over so quickly so Xavier Woods can do his pop culture reference of the week.
I liked the rest of the promo. It made me laugh.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The segment did make me laugh, but by this point, I was so infuriated that everything, I'd spent so many hours watching Survivor Series for it to mean nothing 48 hours later. I hate that so much.
But Big E did say he loves succulent breasts.
Cool. It was funny.
Talking about the turkey.
It was funny. And then they had a match with the Bar, which again was funny.
I didn't find it that funny. Thanksgiving feast fight was the stipulation. So it was a 6-man tag, so Big Show's involved. And around the ring, there are sort of banquet tables with various Thanksgiving foods on. Big Show fell off the apron at one point through a table of food.
Always funny.
Kofi hit a double axe handle off the top rope while holding a turkey, which sent Sheamus going through a table behind him. The New Day win.
Yeah, Big E used the turkey like a boxing glove. Again, all this, on paper, very funny.
I didn't find it funny.
But it does turn your tag team champions into tag team chumps, because they got made to look like absolute idiots here. And this is supposed to be your tag title feud. Where were the Usos? The sole survivors in your supposed now canon match. Where are they? Yeah. Where's their tag title shot? New Day lost.
We said this before Crown Jewel as well. The go-home angle for Crown Jewel, with the tag team division at least, was the Bar versus the New Day in a trick or street fight.
Yeah.
It was all the Halloween gimmicks. And we were like, well, it was actually quite funny. But this isn't what you need for your tag title feud. You've got Gallows and Anderson. You've got the Colognes. Put these guys in those spots. It's not like the people in these matches aren't the draw here. It's the stipulation. So why undermine your top title holders?
Yeah.
It's just lame. And I'm over the New Day Bar feud now. Like, why is this still going on?
Yeah. No. Well, there's six of them. There's three on each team, I guess. So I guess they have to keep feuding.
We had Randy Orton next talking about how he's going to throw Ray's mask away. Just another exciting tease for what's up next. And then we got Asuka and Naomi beating Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
Also, I've written here, Mandy Rose and Naomi versus Mandy Rose and Naomi. Mm. Shows how much I care about
this. They're not even on the same team.
I know. Either way, this went to an ad break straight away. Miscommunication between Rose and Deville. Asuka taps Sonya out. So, really good job they protected Sonya at Survivor Series by having her counted out, only for her to be tapped out 48 hours later. What was the point?
I was surprised by how big the pop was for the Asuka lock. Everyone lost their minds. people still like Asuka. Like, it was it was last Tuesday. It was the SmackDown show when Becky was choosing who should replace her in the Ronda Rousey fight. Crickets for Charlotte, crickets for Sonya, crickets for Carmella. Looks at Asuka, whole place explodes. Yeah, it's gonna be Charlotte. It's like, you've got do something with Asuka. God. Yeah. Then we got this was a shining light. We got the Lars Sullivan coming soon promo on SmackDown.
So this says to me
WWE don't know what brand he's going to yet.
Yeah.
And they're just going to air it on both shows until Vince makes a decision. And then I guess they'll start booking him from there?
I can't remember where I read it, but it was from like a pretty decent site. But they said it was meant to be, these vignettes were meant to start playing from TLC. But Vince saw them and thought they were so good, they should start playing from Survivor Series. So I'm worried we're going to get like about 6 weeks and he'll debut before the Royal Rumble. It's going to be Emelina levels of build.
Crikey.
Coming soon.
And when, like, I thought nothing of that report, but when this same video package played on SmackDown, so if you haven't seen, it played at Survivor Series. We were like, ooh, which brand's he going to go to? And then it plays on Raw, this week's Raw. So we're like, oh, he's going to Raw then. But then it played on SmackDown, so we're question marks again.
I'm almost certain they don't know which brand he's going to.
I feel like no one knows what's going on.
No. Absolutely.
They're all recovering from having 20 pay-per-views in a month.
I'm telling you, man, I swear, plans have changed.
Yeah.
From Sunday to here, plans have changed.
I mean, but loads of plans changed
all
from
the time.
Monday before with all the Becky stuff and the Nia stuff and Brian turning heel.
Plans change like day to day. But this feels like such a drastic difference to what was set up on Sunday to what was played off here. Mm. And then the main event of the... Oh, no, sorry, we have more to go, yeah. I thought we were at the main event. God, it's weird how much was on this show and yet it felt like not a lot happened.
It's because it was all so confusing. However, you know, this was
great.
I thought this was a home run.
This really was. This was all... This saved the show. This would have got a smack in the face rating otherwise.
So Daniel Bryan comes out, does a little yes taunt. I just love the way he was dressed here. Had the WWE title. But he's wearing a cardigan and a sort of his check shirt and jeans. And he just looks like he's going down to the dump on a weekend day.
It looked like the comfiest cardigan I've ever seen. I said in the review, I want that cardigan. Yeah. Because you say he's wearing a cardigan and his shirt. I think it's all one in the same.
Ooh.
And it looks... I mean, stylish, but also super comfy. I would totally wear that.
I wouldn't say stylish.
Oh man, I would. He looks so cool.
I don't want to insult you now because I was going to say it was such a boring look. I've got a theory that he intentionally dressed that way to almost as a heel move, like his clothes turned heel.
It was comfy.
Not for Luke, who prioritises comfort over anything attractive.
Have you seen this? This is so comfy.
That looks good.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I copied this look from The Miz because Miz wore a cardigan that looks so similar to this. I was like, I want that cardigan. It looks so comfy.
And you've got the big hood, Miz big style hood to
Oh, it's
to
such
flip
a comfy
over.
Hood.
Yeah, I mean, I would... Because we both said, we want the shaved head, we want a completely new look.
That's coming next week, man, I'm telling you, next week.
I disagree. I think Brian knows what we want, so he's not going to give it to us. And I think the way he's done it, if that's true, I think it's very smart. He's making me dislike his character.
Mm.
And if he came out with a shaved head, I would have been like, that's cool. But I never once said, that's cool in this promo. And that's not a bad thing. Like, that's what he should be doing as a heel.
That's heel.
Like, he's going to be a proper heel rather than a cool Kevin Owens-style heel.
And it's weird as well, because I said this in the review, but you and I joked on yesterday's Wrestle Ramble podcast that Charlotte Flair was going to come out and cut the "You people turned your back on me" promo that Dean Ambrose did on Raw. Never did I think it would be Daniel Bryan that did that promo.
And pull it off.
And, yeah, well, that's the key to it. He made it sound like the crowd did turn against him. And when he was saying, like, he goes, I came back and everywhere, it was the loudest yes chant I've ever heard. But that yes chant has diminished and diminished and diminished. And that isn't untrue. Because it has been diminished and diminished and diminished because WWE have made it almost like their goal to book him so poorly since his return that the crowd became apathetic to him. And it's so what he's saying here is kind of right. And it was this really oddly captivating promo because he's talking about himself in the third person, but he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the old Daniel Bryan, this Daniel Bryan that was following his dreams and his dreams will follow you or whatever his mantra was.
It's fight for your dreams and your dreams will fight for you.
There you go. And he was talking about like how he was traveling. That Daniel Bryan was traveling all over the country speaking to doctors and spending time in these hyperbaric chambers. Is that what it's called? Hang on, man, nailed it.
Hmm.
And
And then he's like, all the while, you fans were cheering for AJ Styles, which got the mildest of mild AJ Styles chants. It nearly worked, but it didn't quite. And then just start saying, like, fickle, 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 fickle.
It's great delivery.
It was great delivery. And he introduced then the new Daniel Bryan. This is the Daniel Bryan that realized while he was in those chambers, in that silence, of who he needs to be. And after doing this, he said, I'm the new Daniel Bryan. He went out and got Greg Hamilton to introduce him as the new Daniel Bryan. So I said in my review, next week, new look, new music, new like a whole new presentation of this character as the new Daniel Bryan.
Potentially. We'll see. I think either way is an interesting choice. It's fascinating how many ways you can read this motivation, because you were saying he's sort of turned on the people. I feel like his fight for your dreams and your dreams will fight for you. I almost feel like it's he's become so obsessed with these dreams, and he's let those, but those dreams have kind of just turned into wants, like quite nasty wants, and they have taken over his personality. This is the invading Daniel Bryan force that has supplanted old Daniel Bryan. And his dream is to become the WWE title. But in that kind of devil with the bargain with the devil pact, where whatever you offer up, it kind of backfires in the end. The dreams, that the unadulterated, immoral version of that dream is to cheat to win. Like, it's the quickest route to get there.
He did. He said, my dreams kicked AJ Styles in the balls.
Yeah. I thought it was such an intelligent way to explain what happened. Especially like how rushed and how chaotic, and the whole Brock Lesnar Survivor Series match. Somehow they managed to explain it all. He said, like, yeah, Brock Lesnar beat the last bit of Daniel Bryan out of me. I was like, what?
That's
what
brilliant.
An interesting way to take that. That's very, very smart. He's a very smart man.
He's the only person on this show that made the Survivor Series result mean something.
Mm.
Only one. It was the only part of the show where Survivor Series seemed to matter.
Bryan must have some creative control. I cannot see
the word is
any...
that he does, because that's why he was able to not do Crown Jewel, because him and Cena are one of the few people who have that high level of power that they can turn around and say, not doing that.
It's amazing. You hear that story about when Bryan went into WWE and he did the sort of the test that how goal motivated are you, and he's like, oh, not really. And he got like the lowest score ever on ambition. And here he is, just through being Daniel Bryan, through being a nice guy, through working hard and loving what you do, he's like one of the most powerful people backstage. And the flip side of that is John Cena, who seems to be pathologically ambitious and sort of very determined to get his goals, and he's risen to the top. So you've got these two complete ends of the spectrum who both at one point in their lives shagged a Bella. with all this dream stuff, I thought Velveteen Dream call up.
Not on your watch, mate.
Not on my watch.
10 more years in developmental.
At least.
So says Ollie Davis. Maybe then he'll learn to wrestle. So says Ollie Davis. I don't know. This isn't in your notes, but did you get Carmella and Truth selling Christmas merchandise?
I just didn't make any notes for it.
Well, someone sent a tweet that really made me laugh and said, were they doing that on the old WrestleTalk set? On the old Wrestle Ramble set?
T-shirts.
Yeah.
And the main event was Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio.
So if you thought Survivor Series mattered, it didn't, because it was Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton. No effects of Survivor Series playing into this. Crown Jewel, if anything, played more into this than anything else. Because they play like a recap of, like, they had their first round match at Crown Jewel, and then since then Randy's been RKOing him or trying to RKO him. I don't think I could care less about Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio main eventing SmackDown in 2018.
I mean, we both did say when Rey Mysterio comes back, Orton's gimmick is going after these favorites, Jeff Hardy, and that was it.
That was it.
In the end, a bit of Ty Dillinger for a match. So, I mean, I'm into Rey Mysterio-Randy Orton feud as like a mid-card thing.
That's the key to it.
Not as the main event. But I must say, I did enjoy the match.
Well, it went about like...
I really like Rey.
Five minutes or so?
It went 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
So, 2 minutes extra. Because I was like, how long did that go? It felt like it went really quick. I guess because it is. It wasn't 10 minutes. If that was a 10-minute match, that would have gone very quick, but it wasn't.
I only really remember one spot from it, which was when Rey went to do his penguin slide out of it, and Randy countered that into an RKO. Very cool.
Really cool.
Really, really cool. But I think by this point of the show, I was so done. And I was just like so put off by the idea of Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio main eventing in 2018 that, like, I mean, they could have done anything. I think I probably would have been unimpressed by it. But that was a really, really cool spot.
Yeah. And then Orton rolled Rey in, hit another RKO, and won. And because all the heel heat all the time, Randy Orton beat up Rey, put his head in a... Did he do this?
He wrapped
a chair around his head. So that's the WWE heel beatdown spot du jour, and pushed him into the ring post. Somehow that cut Rey's elbow. Why is everyone getting these cut elbows?
Don't know.
Is it like a sandpaper mat at the moment they're using? It was Braun, I think AJ or Daniel Bryan last week.
Yep.
Yeah, very confusing. But then Orton takes off Rey's mask, walks up the ramp and poses with it. Heels. Rey's been beaten a lot since his return.
Well, I mean, the other side of this, and I didn't say this in the review, but I've got it here in my notes. So it got mega heat. Him taking off Rey Mysterio's mask and holding it above his head got genuine mega heat from the crowd. So I guess it's just me that doesn't care.
I mean, we've been watching Rey Mysterio long enough to have seen this happen. Like, it's like Big Show handbrakes.
Yeah.
I've seen that angle 20 times in my life.
But, like, you know, I mean, I'm here saying, like, I don't think Randy Orton should be main eventing in 2018, but he does get, like, massive reactions every time he does. So you can't fault WWE for constantly putting him in the main event because he does get these reactions. It's just I'm done with it.
And I think, unfortunately, if you're flipping through the TV guide, Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton on the... Or, like, sorry, you would be looking on an app or, like, on your...
People must still buy the Radio Times.
Yeah. And you see Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, you might go, oh, I remember those guys. I'll watch that. And if you see Andrade Cien Almas versus AJ Styles, you unfortunately, I think quite a lot of people will go, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, because they're not presented as stars.
So, yeah, but that's indicative of a larger problem of WWE not making stars to replace those guys.
Absolutely.
And keeping the audience. So, overall, no Becky Lynch, which I found disappointing. I would have liked to have seen a promo.
I think she was getting... Well, yeah, a promo certainly would have helped. I think she was getting evaluated by doctors. She tweets
on
that...
On Monday?
Yes, but it depends on where they were.
Yeah, but she... You know, like a little phone promo.
Oh, yeah, that's promo. Right. Like, yeah. But that one, that would stop your Charlotte storyline because otherwise people go like, I thought Charlotte was this character. If you're a newcomer to this. So I guess... I think, to be honest... If I'm WWE, I'm keeping Becky Lynch off this show while you've got this Charlotte character going on because you don't want to have the two crossing paths. It's like that Spider-Man meme where they're both, like, the two Spider-Men are pointing at each other. Like, you can't have the two of them on TV at the same time. And if you put Becky on TV now, people might stop cheering for Charlotte.
That would be what happens.
Yeah. And so I guess that's why I would probably keep Becky off TV as well. But that's an idiotic thing to do because she's the most over person. Like, and they're talking about this on the Gorilla Position podcast. Like, when Owen Hart broke Austin's neck in 97, they didn't take Austin off TV. He stayed on TV just to, like, develop the character and keep that character going and keep that plate spinning. So I'm hoping that they're not going to keep Becky off TV, but I guess at the same time it kind of makes sense to keep her off TV. And as you saw in your notes, there's no AJ Styles, but I think AJ's injured.
Yeah, because he's been pulled from Mixed Match Challenge too.
Both him and Braun have been pulled from Mixed Match Challenge. Jeff Hardy's officially taken Jeff's place now in Mixed Match Challenge. Remember, the finals of which are going to take place at TLC, so it does become canon soon enough.
Teaming with Charlotte.
Yeah.
What's going on?
And the winners of that will, like, get the number 30 spots in the Royal Rumble.
So, yeah, I think we all thought there were going to be some answers coming out of Survivor Series this week. Raw provided awful answers and, sort of crushed all my hopes and optimism for the rest of the year based on the storylines coming out of it. SmackDown just provided no answers.
Well, they didn't provide no answers. They ignored the question.
they just ran around going,
la 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 la,
which, like, is frustrating, but at least it hasn't dashed all my hopes yet. So that's where I'm at.
I mean, I gave it a low SmackDowner.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just because it's so confusing. Everyone's singing off a different hymn sheet.
Yeah. Would you you like a Poetry Corner submission?
Always.
So this comes in from Joshua Griebert. It's quite a long one, so do bear with us. But he says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. After Survivor Series, I felt down on WWE. Not the only one, pal. It just feels like Vince doesn't care about the wrestlers or the product anymore. Bless you, Ollie, for starting Poetry Corner, because it inspired me to actually articulate my frustrations and share them rather than bottle them up inside me. My poem is a lament, sad reflection on the current state of WWE."
I'm glad they said I started Poetry Corner.
After that guy last
rather
week
than
said...
that guy said, "Well, I started Poetry Corner."
"A pair of belts that have no case and have no home around a waist. For no team's worthy to take the top place, why should I even care? A Riot Squad who cannot pin, it's 3-on-2 to save their skin, and now against one they cannot win, why should I even care? An innovative soul who cries delete and brings the crowd up to its feet, from horrible booking rendered obsolete, why should I even care? A beast who is never around to fight, yet hold the top title in no one's delight. If the money is good, he may show up tonight, but why should I even care? The irresistible force hits and injures the man. Back to developmental, cries every fan. No punishment, a push, decides the old McMahon. Why should I even care? The boss and the hugger, once pioneers, now hug and fight in laughter and tears. A feud that has been doing nothing for years. Why should I even care? An entire brand all coloured in blue, destroyed before the world on a big 5 pay-per-view. Just leaves us asking, who, and why should I even care? The queen of SmackDown, the monster among men, a shock heel turn for Daniel Bryan. Can crisis booking make things interesting again? Why should I even care? I'm sorry, Demon King. I'm sorry, Rusev Day. You've got yourselves over and now you must pay. Your talent booked to nothing and your hype's gone away. Why should I even care? Dearest Black, dearest Baszler, Gargano and Ciampa, the Dream, the Prophets, Undisputed Era, you may be called up, but you'll probably disappear. Why should I even care? Now don't get me wrong, I love you, WWE. I love Seth versus Ambrose and even Miz TV, but I just don't understand what you're doing to me. I want to care. I really, really want to care, but why should I if you don't?
Slam.
That was slam poetry.
That
yelling.
Oh, that's a different joke, wasn't it?
The I was doing the 22 Jump Street one.
Yeah,
yelling.
I was doing the same movie.
Yeah,
but when the twins.
Words. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh god, I snorted. Yeah, that's really good. I use my favourite thing in poetry, which is a recurring line for some structure.
Mm-hmm. You do like that, don't you?
Also, well done for like three lines of rhyme rather than just the occasional A, B, A, B. That's, you have to get one extra rhyme word out of each bit. Some questionable rhymes. All depends on how you say Brian. Daniel Bryan, I presume.
Well, he is getting a new character. Maybe that's what his thing's going to be next week. He's going to start introducing himself as Daniel Bryan.
And God, given this week of WWE, it's not out of the realms of possibility. I was thinking about this. I always think about this. Like, why do we all still watch WWE when it is so bad a lot of the time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is like one of the worst weeks, I think.
Worst run of shows, and certainly in a 3-day period.
Since I started on Wrestle Talk, I'm really obsessively watching everything. And I think it's like WWE is our home team. Like, they are our local sports team. That's the sports team we've followed since being a kid. So we will watch them no matter what. But they're so bad some of the times.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I guess we have that. There's that blind loyalty from forever, and the few highs when they were at the top of the league for a while.
Yes,
yeah.
But also I suppose in our case we have to, because if we don't, we'll lose all the money.
Yeah. So for I would have stopped. Like I said, I'd stop now after that Raw, and I would have watched SmackDown. Actually, I would have just watched SmackDown because they haven't dashed all my hopes yet. But yeah, not a good week for WWE.
Not a good thing. Dylan Reeve emails in with a message subject line that says, "The weirdest thing to happen at a wrestling show." So let's find
Challenge.
Out. Hello, hello again, lads. Dylan from Cork here. I wanted to ask you, what's the craziest, weirdest thing you've seen at a wrestling show you attended that wasn't part of the show? I attended a WWE house show back in November 2014 in Dublin, and a woman in front of me collapsed after having a seizure. It was a very scary moment, but thankfully she was quickly brought to hospital and there was no serious injuries that occurred. And I doubt she's attended many, if any, shows involving strobe lighting effects since then.
Jimmy Havoc, dressed as a... He used to have a gimmick in Lucha Britannia called El Transvestico, where he would wrestle as a sort of gimp-like man-woman. He grabbed my balls once for a photo. I was getting a photo with him, and he just grabbed my balls as the thing went. So maybe that. Hashtag me too.
I don't think I've got anything that's like the craziest thing that's ever happened at wrestling show. Actually, I suppose that
that's not part of the show. Like, seen so many crazy things in the actual action.
Totally. Well, like at the Rev Pro show we were at a couple of Fridays ago, there was a spot during the El Fantasmo match that was just before the interval where he did a big flip dive onto the lad he was facing. And like he hit this guy so hard that they essentially bent the barrier. And it just sort of, and everyone just collapsed onto everyone in the front row, including this like 10-year-old girl. And me, Datsun and El Fakador all went like, "Oh my god, is she okay?" And this little girl, she loved it, absolutely loved it. And Fantasmo, because he's just the best, like he went up to her, like put his head against hers to ask if she was okay, which I'm sure was incredibly sweaty. But it was like there was a period in time where we all went, "That little girl's dead." Like this is terrifying. Well, she's very much her, but she was fine and she loved it.
Yeah, she was a work.
She a plant.
She was a working fan.
She was one that was cheering Roman a couple of months ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Right, let's get out of here with some jokes. Connor Kieran has said, "Since you like my last set of dinosaur jokes, I have another one for you, but this one's a bit longer. Hope you like it. Three dinosaurs are walking when they find a lamp. They rub it, don't ask me how, and a genie pops out and he grants them each one wish. The first dinosaur wishes for a big slab of meat, and a big slab of juicy meat appears. The second dinosaur asks to be showered in meat, and within seconds, it's raining meat. The third dinosaur, not to be outdone by his friends, asks for a meteor shower. And that's how the dinosaurs died." Okay, so this is not a joke that I approve of, but I think it might get a reaction out of you. "I just found out that it's normal for doctors to stick their finger in your butt. I think my uncle's maybe a doctor."
Okay, we found my genre of jokes.
I don't want more jokes like that. I prefer the dinosaur one. That's just me, though. This one...
I still think about the bicycle joke.
This one from Andrew Lee, who sends in a lot of these jokes. "The police arrested a man the other day for attacking his neighbour with a giant bowl of week-old gravy. When asked when the man was charged with... When asked what the man was charged with, the authorities said it was assault with a congealed weapon." Do you remember a joke about a sturgeon?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Paul J. Robinson's emailed in to give us some clarification. "Hey, Luke and Ollie, not Laurie, he wasn't there. I wanted to explain the sturgeon joke from earlier, mostly due to the white sturgeon living a couple of hours from my house for being awesome. This sturgeon's basically a living dinosaur. They have an average length of 2.1 metres, or about 7 feet long, the longest being 6.1 metres, about 20 feet, and weighing 816 kilos, 1,800 pounds.
What? What's a sturgeon?
Well, that's what we were talking about. It's a fish. It's like a dinosaur.
Wow.
"Attached is a picture of some local fishermen showing their prize catches. Not mine, because fishing is boring. You know, sports and stuff. Now, if they had a fish in a torture rack or dropped an elbow drop on him, that would be different." It's from Paul Robinson, Washington State. So that is a sturgeon.
Blimey, they are long. A Nicola sturgeon. A lot of these look like they've just been photoshopped onto men holding stuff.
It's all perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, Reuben Johnston. "Hello, Luke, Ollie." He's written here. "Hello, Luke, Ollie, and Luke." I'm assuming you meant Laurie, but maybe you just want to say hi.
Double hi to Luke.
Hello. This is why I'm the podcast master. "I've got two jokes for you that I heard at a comedy show a few weeks ago." Stealing, I guess. "I said to this New Zealand bloke, I'm going to Swedish furniture shop, and he said, 'Does it look like IKEA?'" And finally, this song is called Subtraction. Take it away. Thank you for the podcast. They are incredible and consistent. You know you're better than Pritchard. Love you. Goodbye.
I like that scene in Beyond the Mat where there's the tryout match and they essentially hit the white noise or air raid siren or whatever that move's called, the Finley Drop.
Finley Driver.
Finley Driver. And someone in the back just goes, I'm stealing that.
You said it was Austin.
That's what I was told rewatching it. It isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I think about that guy watching a comedy show. Stealing that.
Eddie Murphy does that on his Delirious stand-up. Have you ever watched Delirious?
I haven't, no.
Does not hold up because it is un-PC. It is on the line. It's actually not even on the line. You know in Friends where he's like, the line is like a dot to you. That is Delirious. And Raw in particular. Raw has got so much homophobic material in it. It's incredible. Essentially, he does a whole routine about he's afraid of gay people. And like he has nightmares about gay people, about what they're going to do to him. When I was a teenager...
Thinks highly of himself.
As a teenager, young teenager, an impressionable teenager, hilarious. I actually probably could recite it line for line because we used to watch Delirious and Raw so much on VHS.
It's a different culture.
But there's a moment in Delirious when he says, I really hate people trying to redo my material on the way home because they never get it right. Like, they just completely mess it up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a joke and you can just use that joke. Says, Bear and the rabbit are taking a poo in the woods. Bear turns to the rabbit and he says, do you find that when you poo, the poo sticks to your fur? The rabbit says no. So the bear wipes his ass with the rabbit.
Nice.
That is all we got time for. We're going to see you tomorrow, myself and Laurie will do, for the NXT review. And then Ollie and I will be back with the Saturday Wrestle Ramble, most likely with a what next question going up on there. Spoilers, that might be for NXT tomorrow as well because it's Squash Match City and... not a lot's going to happen on the show.
You could just carry on going like, what is going on with SmackDown? We should open every episode with that.
What is going
what
on?
Everyone else saw that.
Did everyone else? Yeah, what was Charlotte doing? So thank you very much for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.